Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 29. Genesis 29, verse 15. Genesis 29, verse 15 through 30. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than to give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my time is completed, that I may go into her." Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Now in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and Jacob went into her. Laban also gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you deceived me?" But Laban said, "It is not the practice in our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve with me for another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Laban also gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maid. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban for another 7 years. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word, and God, help us to just connect with you and to hear your voice, God, as we listen to the message, as we worship with the song, God, and as we pray. I pray that we'll be able to really hear from you and connect with you today. And I humble myself to you that you would use me to speak your word. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this is a well-known story, maybe the first love story in the Bible. I think maybe the only, well, I guess there's Song of Solomon's, but really it stands out as a real kind of beautiful love story, right? We have this Jacob falling in love, love at first sight for him and Rachel. So he comes by and he sees her and he falls in love with her. It says she was beautiful in form and face, and the 7 years that he worked for her seemed only like a few days because he loved her so much. So there is love at first sight. There seems to be this idea of divine appointment, right? God brought these two guys together, and there is sacrifice. There are obstacles that he's facing that he has to overcome, and there's perseverance. He's worked not just 7 years, but 14 years to be with his loved one, Rachel. And just one quick observation that we can draw from this is that he waited 7 years before he had sex with her. So just a quick lesson, you know, don't no sex before marriage. Simple, right? 7 years. I mean, we wait, I don't know, like it's not a very long time, but Jacob had to wait 7 years. So just simple, right? Don't do it before marriage. He said, "Give me my wife. My 7 years is up that I may go into her," which means he hasn't done it. Like he waited until there was marriage, that commitment, and then he had sex with her. But yeah, I mean, well-known story, powerful story of this love that Jacob had for his wife Rachel. But This morning, the title of my message is, In the Morning, It Was Leia. In the Morning, It Was Leia. And this, it's something that I heard from Pastor Tim Keller, Redeemer Church in New York. And when I was reading through, I'm going through Genesis in my own devotional times. And this just spoke to me again, so I wanted to share this with you. In the morning, it was Leia. Jacob had worked 7 years, and he gave his everything to be with Rachel, right? And, of course, it was the deception of his uncle Laban. But for him, what happened, he worked 7 years hard, and he said, give me my wife, and he made love to her, wake up in the morning, and what he sees is it's Leia, it's not Rachel. And the spiritual connection I want to bring to us is we try so hard sometimes to get something. Right, we try so hard and we go for it and we seek for it and we want this thing. But in the end, when we get that thing, we realize that it's Leia. It's not something, it's not the thing that I always thought I wanted. In fact, when we get the thing that we always thought we wanted and we work so hard for it, we will persevere for it. But when we finally get the thing and we thought that this was going to change our lives. We thought that this is going to be the thing that satisfies me and fulfills me and gives me everything that I need. But in the morning, it's Leia. And in the morning, we realize, man, this is not what I wanted. This is not the thing that I thought I was fighting for this whole time. I'll give you two examples, a small example and a big example. A small example is phones. I'm not really a gadget guy, but Pastor Hyunsu kind of turned me into a gadget guy. Since I started getting to know him, he has convinced me that Androids are better than iPhones. I used to have an iPhone, so he convinced me to get an Android, and then he's shown me the world of Android phones. And I don't know, if you're not into gadgets, I might lose you, but with Android, you can do so many different things to customize it. You can already do it with your phone before doing anything to it, but there is another world that opens to you if you learn how to connect that phone to the computer and go to a deeper level, you call it the root level of that phone, and you can make tweaks to it, and you can install different ROMs to it, and there's so many things you can do. And so once I learned how to do that, I would spend hours figuring this thing out, like, okay, how do I, because every phone is different, every brand is different, every connection, every computer is different, so there's all these bugs. So you have to connect it, and you have to do all this kind of testing and figure out how does this work, and I spend hours on trying to make my phone to be this perfect thing, and when I get it, I'm so overjoyed. I'm like, oh, it worked. And I'll like tell Ma and I'll tell Hyunsu. I'll be like, look, it's working. It's this new thing that I downloaded and it's awesome. But then that excitement only lasts a few days and you're like, oh, I'm getting bored. And I want to do this new thing. And I want to get this new ROM and new skin and new this and new that. And always trying to change it. And small example, right? I think that this phone, if I just fixed it and put this new ROM to it, then it's going to be I'm waiting for this new ROM to come to my phone. The update's supposed to come in 2 weeks' time, and I'm like dying. But I know that if I get it, I'll be like, oh, it's great, but there's all these issues, and it's not as amazing as I thought it was going to be. Big example is my story with my wife. I've already gotten her permission to share this story, but most of you know the story anyway. But if you don't know, I had to pursue her for a very long time. So it happened many years ago. She visited Hong Kong a few times, and during those visits, I was like Jacob. I saw her, and I didn't even really know her. We hung out in group settings, and I just was like, I was in love already. And there was something in me that I was like, I'm going to go for her. I think I'm going to marry her. I remember telling my friend, a brother of mine at church, I was like, yeah, I think she's the one. I think I'm going to marry her. But there was nothing. She was living in Sydney, but I had somehow in my heart, I felt like God was, I don't know if it was God or it was just, I just knew. So after that meeting her a few times. December, I think 2008, December 2008, I had an opportunity to go to Sydney to join PSAM on a ministry trip. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go to Sydney and I'm going to do the ministry thing, but I'm going to try and get in touch with Mon and, you know, get her to go on a date with me, and then I'll ask her out. And in my, I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking that it was going to all work out. So I thought it was good, but things were really awkward because once I started liking her, I became very, very shy, very just awkward. Like, I just didn't know what to say to her, and it was very, just didn't flow, nothing flowed. And so, I mean, I email her, and she's kind enough to say, okay, yeah, I'll hang out with you. So the whole team goes back early. Like, I mean, well, their ministry is done, so they go back, but I'm going to stay back. So I stayed back in Sydney by myself for a few days, and I was like, I got a new shirt, and I got a guidebook to figure out which restaurant we're going to go to. So we come the day for us to hang out, and things have already happened, and I was like hopeless that it wasn't going to work out, but things happened that open doors came, so I was like, well, maybe it's going to work out. So anyway, we go on this date, and it's okay, right? I mean, it's awkward, but she's very kind, and so we spend our time, we get dinner together, and we walk around, we go to the Sydney Opera House, and we're sitting by the Opera House, and I give her, it was Christmas time, so I give her a Christmas present, which was a microphone, because, you know, she loved to sing, and she was on the worship team and stuff, and then I just told her, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I said, but I confessed my love to her, basically, and I said, hey, would you go out with me? And the worst answer you can hear from a girl is, oh, I'll think about it. Like, I'll pray about it, and then I'll let you know. And our fast was coming, because this was at the end of December. So I said, okay, yeah, you pray about it, and then let's talk after the fast. So I call her after the fast, and she says no. She's like, I just don't feel the same way. And very heartbreaking at the time. And to me, it felt like it was hopeless. I was like, what am I going to do? It's 2009, January, I find out, so I'm like, okay, maybe I should just close this chapter. I mean, different people give different advice. They're like, you should go back there. And I think if I had gone back to Sydney, I think that would have been a real deal breaker for her. She would have been like, this guy's crazy. So it's probably good that I didn't go back to Sydney and like try to pursue her. But for me, I was like, oh, she's all the way over there. How am I going to pursue her while she's there and I'm here? So I thought maybe we should just... I should just give up. So we tried emailing, but this didn't work out. So I decided, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to cut this thing off. And I stopped emailing her. I had zero contact with her. And eventually, I started dating another person here in Hong Kong, and Mon started dating another guy in Sydney. But maybe like a year or a year and a half later, I find out that Mon's actually going to move to Hong Kong, at least for 6 months on a career break. And people around me are like, hey, Mon's coming back. But I was like, no, I'm dating this other girl. It's all good. I'm okay. I zero interest. And I knew she was dating this other guy. So I was like, whatever. But because we were both dating other people when she came to Hong Kong, that awkwardness, that wall was broken. So that was a real divine thing. So we were able to just connect as friends. And we didn't have this thing hanging over us. And then she eventually, as you guys know, started working for the church, interning at the church. And we were able to spend a lot more time together. And then eventually my relationship with this other girl ended. But I mean, I can genuinely say it wasn't because of Mon. It just wasn't a very good relationship. So it didn't work out. So I ended that with her. But she was still dating this other guy. So I was giving her what I thought was relationship advice for her. I was like, yeah, you know, like work things out with him. And she was debating whether she was going to move back to Sydney or move to Hong Kong because PSAM had offered her a job. And I mean, I didn't know anything about the guy, so I thought it'd be great if it worked out for them, but it didn't work out with him. So she went back, broke up with him, and then she decided to move to Hong Kong. And then that's when my heart began to change. I was like, oh, she's single, I'm single, and we're friends now, and all these things. So then that began like an 8-month-long pursuit over her. And so we started going on jogs together, and this whole time, I'm very volatile. I'm like,
She hates me. This is hopeless. And I'm telling my guy friends, like, I'm just going to give up. Nothing's going to work out. And then I'm freaking out. And then she will, like, send me a text. Just do something to, like, my hope will rise again. And I'll be like, oh, I got to do something. And then I'm just going crazy. And it was a long journey. It was very, very hard. But I persevered. And then 8 months later, I asked her out again. And then now we're married, right? So praise God. But even though, I can honestly tell you that it's amazing. It really has been so awesome and so amazing. And almost everything that I dreamed of in terms of like a marriage relationship and being with somebody. But one of the big lessons that we have been learning and discussing together is that that we cannot turn to each other for satisfaction. Right? That if we start looking at, I start looking at my wife to fulfill me and to satisfy me, and she starts looking at me to fulfill her and satisfy her, it's quickly going to become sour, right? The relationship, and we're going to demand things, we're going to expect things, and we're going to be disappointed, and things are going to happen where we just feel slighted by the other person because we're expecting something that is impossible for the other person to meet. Every now and then we do this couple devotional together. It's like 52 devotionals on marriage. And just the last one that we did, this guy was talking about this exact same thing. And he was saying, your relationship with God, you should look at that as your full meal that gives you, or the main meal that gives you the sustenance and the joy and the satisfaction. And then you should look to the relationship that you have with your spouse as the dessert. Like, it's good and it's sweet and it's awesome, but if you look to that to be your main source of nutrition and strength and joy, you're going to run out and it's going to become very difficult. So, yeah, phones, I can want it so badly and I'll work on it. I'll spend hours and days to fix it and get it to be exactly what I want it to be. But in a few days, I realized, man, it's not fulfilling. It's not as good as I thought it would be. Even this relationship that I, for about 4 years of just kind of pursuing and giving up and struggling, and we're finally together. But I see that even in this, if I turn to her to be this full satisfaction, I'm going to be disappointed. She's going to be disappointed. It's going to turn sour. I got to look to God. You can see that with Jacob as well. If you turn to the next chapter, chapter 30, we'll read verse 1 through 4. Genesis 30, 1 through 4. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister, and she says to Jacob, give me children or else I die. Then Jacob's anger burned against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? She said, here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her that she may bear on my knees, that through her I too may have children. So she gave him her maid Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. I mean, what you see there, Jacob loved Rachel. I mean, in a fairy tale, the story would end with maybe Jacob finally getting Rachel, and they lived happily ever after, except for Leah. Rachel and Jacob lived happily ever after. And that would be the ending, but we see here, no. Even though Jacob loved Rachel, you see, man, there's drama in this family. And Rachel is going crazy, and she's complaining, and she's nagging, and Jacob's going, losing it at her, like, am I God that I can give you children? Like, why are you bothering me about this? And you see there's dissension, there's fight, there's, it's just not as perfect as maybe what you would have thought it to be in this perfect love story that you would want. And even though he got the girl of his dreams, but it wasn't perfect. And there's issues already coming up in chapter 30, the very next chapter. And that's kind of what you see with the life of Jacob. Ever since he was born, he was struggling to get a blessing. Ever since he was born, he wanted to get ahead. So he comes out of the womb grabbing at his older brother's heel, right? And his whole life, that picture of him grabbing at the heel is kind of a description of his whole life. He's always trying to get ahead. He's always trying to pull ahead. And his name means grabbing at the heel, right? And trying to overthrow, trying to like get somewhere with his life. And you see that with the red stew that he deceives his older brother. He says, hey, give me your birthright and I'll give you this red stew. And he does that because he's trying to fight for something. He's trying to get ahead. He thinks if he can get the earthly blessing and somehow move ahead, that's going to make his life good. So he steals the father's blessing, right? He disguises as his older brother, gets the goat and prepares a meal and steals the blessing of his father. And even with Laban, we know that he's always tricking Laban. And in the very end where he's about to leave Laban, he does this whole thing to try and trick him so that he can get more stuff before he leaves Laban so he can have greater wages. But at the end of the story, we know that Jacob has to turn to God and he has to find his true blessing, his true satisfaction in God. And when God asks Jacob, you know that story of him wrestling with the angel, and he's wrestling with God. And in that place of really humility, God asks Jacob, what is your name? And Jacob has to come to terms with who he is. And we think Jacob means deceiver. And I think that came about later, because it's a Hebrew idiom. They would use the name Jacob to mean deceiver, but because he was a deceiver. But what the name means is to grab at the heel. And I think what Jacob is saying, yeah, I've been always trying to get ahead. I've always tried to get something, and I always thought that if I could just grab onto it and then overthrow and come ahead of somebody, I would be fulfilled. And he has to kind of admit that, and God says, when Jacob comes to humility and admits that before God, then God blesses him. And Jacob's a different person from there. Since that blessing of God, you don't see him like trying to get ahead and all these things, because he's found something that is truly fulfilling, the true blessing that comes from God. And his name changes from Jacob to Israel. And so I want to share that with us this morning. Psalm 16:11 says this: "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. In your presence is fullness of joy. This is the way of life. God will show us the way of life, and the way of life to be is in his presence, where there is not just a great joy, not just not just joy, but there's a fullness of joy. If you have a fullness of something, you're not lacking in anything. You're not hungry. You're not seeking. You're not fighting to get something, because the fullness of joy is in the presence of God. And yet, we don't turn to him. We don't turn to the Lord, and we're looking for this fullness of joy and all these other things. But we have to come to the presence of God. And then that fullness of joy will come, that satisfaction will come. And I know that if we don't get that, we're going to be frustrated. I know that as a guy, when I am struggling, like I don't come into the Lord and to his presence and I get that joy and I seek for it and I become desperate and I get frustrated looking for it and all these other things, it comes out in anger. Like I just get stressed out and I get frustrated and I'm like, why am I so frustrated? I'm so frantic. It's because I don't have that joy and that satisfaction in God, and I'm looking for it in something else, and I get so desperate. I feel like I need this. Even this sermon prep, when I was prepping this sermon, and I was thinking about preaching the sermon, and I was getting so fixated on, I need to preach well, and I got so fixated on, is the response from the people going to be good, and man, is this message good? I think this message is going to be good. And I'm like getting so excited. And then I'm getting so excited about the people are going to love this message. And then I come to myself, I'm like, wait. But it's not about that. Like, why am I getting so fixated on this other thing that it's not what's going to truly satisfy? What if this message bombs? Then I'm just going to be so frustrated and I'm going to get so down on myself, and it's just not going to be so hard. But I got to realize, no, my fullness of joy, that kind of satisfaction that fulfills me at the deepest level of who I am, that doesn't come from preaching a message successfully and having people tell me, oh, you did a good job. It has to come from the Lord. If not, that becomes my identity, and it just gets ruined, you know? So anything that you do, I don't know what it is. Is it your work or being successful or whatever it is that you're turning to, you know? Let's just come back to the Lord and just recognize that even if you get that thing that you think you want and you feel like if I just had that, you're going to be satisfied. In the morning, you realize it's Leah. It's not the thing that you always wanted. And even when you get Rachel, you see that it's not perfect and that dissatisfaction and disappointments and all these things will come in eventually and you realize, man, if I'm going for that, I'm lost. I need to come back to the Lord and find Him and get the true blessing and satisfaction from the Lord. So let's turn to God. Eunice is going to lead us in a time of singing and worshiping the Lord through singing. So let's just go before God and let's come before the Lord. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His right hand there are pleasures forever. So let's go before God and really get that joy. And, John Piper says, the chief aim of man is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. And it's not a selfish thing to come to God for joy. It's a worship unto God if we say, God, man, I'm so satisfied in You. Like, You have give me the greatest joy. And I think it's glorifying to Him and it's pleasing to Him for us to say that. So let's go before God and just meet with Him.
Through and through. Yes, you love me through and through, through and through, through and through. Yes, you love me through and through, through and through, through and through. You will love me through and through, through and through, through and through. Yes, you love me through and through, 'cause there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There's none. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There's none. And there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Amen. Let's go before God with that confession in our hearts that there is none like Him, that no one else, nothing else can fulfill us and satisfy us. We're created to be fulfilled by God, by a relationship with Him, and by a connection with Him. So let's just go before God and tell Him that, and let's lay down anything else that we are striving after, we're trying to grab after. Let's lay those things down and say, God, I need you. I'm satisfied in you. Thank you, God. Let's go to our prayer focus, our group prayer focus. First, let's pray for those in our community that's going through cancer or chemo, radiotherapy. Let's really pray and stand in the gap for our friends. Let's pray. Let's ask God that He will move powerfully, and let's stand in the gap for our friends. Let's pray. Let's go to our second slide. Let's pray for those that need healing as well as salvation. Let's pray that God would reveal Himself to them. Let's pray. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for just various infirmities that people are going through. And let's pray for healing. And let's pray for strength and encouragement in this time. Let's pray for our friends that need a job, that are looking for employment. Let's pray for God's provision, and let's pray that they will not be discouraged, and that they'll be able to use this time wisely. So let's pray for our friends. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our city. Pray for the government. Let's pray for revival in this place. And let's pray for all the churches and different ministries here in this place. And let's cover the leaders. And let's just ask that God will come and do something in this city. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our staff. If you can cover P. Sam, please. He's came back from India, but he's been sick since he came back. And he was able to preach on Sunday, but he's sick this morning. So please cover him and pray for strength for Pastor Sam. And please pray for the rest of the staff. Pray for Kenny. Kenny and Janie had their daughter on Saturday night. So he's taking the week off, but pray for them that they'll be able to really have a great time, and protection for Danielle, their daughter, and the rest of the family, the pastors and their family members. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the worship team, worship and sound and media team. Let's pray for heart of worship, heart to serve the church, and a heart of excellence, that we would give God our very best. Let's pray for the worship and sound team. Let's pray for our arts team, Arts Anonymous. Pray for creativity. Pray for unity. Pray for the Spread magazine, the triannual newspaper that they release. Let's pray that they'll be able to get it done for this issue that's coming up, and just give them grace and strength and focus. Let's pray for our Arts Anonymous team. Let's pray for the house churches meeting today, all the Tuesday house churches. Let's pray for an amazing time. Pray for the leaders and the members, and for an anointed time. Let's pray. Lastly, let's pray for our anniversary conference this weekend. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim and his family, that they'll enjoy their time here. Pray that he will download from God. And let's pray that it will be a real celebration, and God will be glorified in this time as we thank him for this, his faithfulness. Let's pray for our anniversary conference. Thank you, God. We love you, Lord. You are so good to us, God. And thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy. Help us, God, not to look, run after things that don't truly satisfy, God. That we will not look for broken cisterns, God. That we will not turn to broken cisterns, God, to fill us up, to satisfy. But, God, that we will turn to you, that we will find you. So I pray for your grace over each person today. Help us to walk with you today, God, to really think about you throughout the day, God, to turn to you. And I pray that we'll be able to bring pleasure to you, God, as we live this life. And thank you, God. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.